little technical difficulties that we've been having, but we've been having fun. Happy New Year to everybody. This is Len Winkler, KB7LPW, and my co-host today is...
Lee Finkel.
A learning experience in radio. It shows you that Murphy's Law is alive and well, and we apologize to all the stations that are carrying this for the first half hour. But
okay, so we'll take a few moments until Nancy gets here. Some of the major events, Lee, during 1993 in amateur radio, I would think one that stands out is instant licensing, and the other is, of course, the business change rules that the FCC proposed and did, where we don't have the restrictions anymore we used to have. We can order pizzas.
Well, they're still trying to work out some of the details and how far that that change goes, but that's the word at the moment.
Well, I think that's kind of a neat thing, because that way I can order my pepperoni with onions, etc. And, of course, the instant licensing, a lot of people are negative on that, but I think it's a good idea overall.
Well, I'm not sure what whether it does make more sense to have people wait a little bit to get their ticket. There's something to be said for having to cherish the license based on the amount of time you have to wait for it.
Too much instant gratification, huh?
Yes.
Also, the FCC in September, they backed the amateurs against scanner laws. You know, there was going to be that little thing where we could not even get a transceiver that could receive on the, you know, different scanner frequencies like the 800 band, etc.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense with public airwaves. I mean, the whole definition itself, it seems to me that you should be allowed to hear whatever's out there.
Oh, yes. And then we had a couple of problems with, that was resolved, but there were problems with one of the TS-50S transceivers, you know, out of band. Well, it always was that way. Every transceiver receives a little out of the ham band. So why they pick on them? They should never have done that. So, and a couple of hams received the Nobel Prize in physics.
That was really outstanding, and of course, the new chairman of the FCC made sure that the other commissioners were well aware of that, and that should help the newest commission members to realize the benefits of ham radio for the future.
Okay, along with the FCC's new call sign choice, I think that's kind of neat, where you can get your own vanity call sign. They're going to charge a few dollars for this.
$7 a year is a pretty small price to pay to have a chance to pick your own call sign, and I know a lot of the people who spend hours and hours on the air chasing DX or in contest.
Nancy is on the line.
That opportunity to pick a call sign again.
Sounds great. Okay, I hear Nancy's on the line. Nancy, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Hi, Lynn.
Sorry for our delay. We had a few technical difficulties, but we're ready now.
Well, that's good. I was wondering what happened.
So was I. Okay, let's discuss FIST real fast. Tell us about what FIST is, and then we can get into some of the meat of it.
Okay, FIST is the active chapter of the International Morse Preservation Society, which is a society formed over in England in 1987 to foster the use of Morse code on the bands and encourage the newcomers to the mode and to engender friendships within the membership.
And how's it going? Is it doing what it's set out to do?
It certainly is. We're growing every day, and it's just been marvelous. The membership is growing. We're up to almost 1,000 all over the world. We've got members in England, France, Germany, the United States, Virgin Islands, Canada, of course, and South America, and it's really growing.
Okay, if you want to talk about this, give us a call at 1-800-298-TALK. That's 1-800-298-TALK. Now, someone's going to have to tell me about breaks because of our first half hour. I think we ran a lot of spots, but if we got to take a break, someone's got to let me know that. Okay. All right, let's talk a little about FIST a little further. Do you advocate, of course, every ham getting knowledgeable in CW? Do you have a speed you think they should all attain?
No, there is no requirement for memberships. In fact, a lot of our members are SWLs. They want to improve their code And even at 5 words a minute, we want you to get on the air, because getting on the air is really the key to increasing your speed, believe it or not. It's the pressure, if you want to call it that, of an on-the-air QSO is just, you just can't compare it to practicing on a tape.
I keep telling Len he needs to get on the air to try it out, but I don't know if he owns a key. This is Lee, KY7M.
That's right. I forgot to introduce you to guys. Lee is a big proponent of CW, of course.
Great. Nice to meet you.
I've got a 35 word per minute certificate on my wall, Nancy. So you should think you have an ally here.
That's good to know. I feel like I'm in hostile territory.
Oh no, not at all. Now, FIS. Okay.
Okay.
Do they? If you're a 5 word a minute code user, are you trying to get them to increase it to 13 or 20, or is 5 fine in your opinion?
Well, the faster you go, the more you enjoy it, because you can say more in the shorter period of time, and it gets more conversational the faster you go. So if you're having fun at 5, I'm not going to discourage you, you know, but it's, as you get on the air and you practice, you're going to naturally progress.
Why the heck do we need code?
Oh. Why the heck do we need code?
Well, I just want your opinion.
Oh, we need code because it's, there's so many reasons.
Let's start with one.
Well, we've got the practical aspects of it. It's very efficient. We can have 15, 20 QSOs in the band space, so you can have one sideband QSO. And with the rate that the hams are growing, we've got more and more people on the air. It only makes sense that more and more of them go to CW because we can fit more of them on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the efficient use of the band space.
Why don't you need code? Are you an advocate, in other words, that we should have to learn code to be on 2 meters?
No.
How come?
Well, because I think there's a place for everybody. But I would like the 2 meter no coders to give code a chance. Because I think a lot of them just blow it off, and I know where they're coming from, because when I first wanted my license...
Okay, you can continue.
When I first got my license, all I wanted to do was get on 2 meters, but then I discovered code and the wonderful world of CW, and...
CQ,
we'll be right back.
With your host, Len Winkler, KB7LPW.
Len Winkler here to tell you about two magazines that if you're not already a subscriber to, you sure should be. First is 7... No other magazine brings you the exciting world of amateur radio like 73 Amateur Radio Today. Each issue contains construction projects, product reviews, columns on ATV, Packet, my favorite of course, fox hunting, QRP, satellites, and of course the great editorial perspectives by Wayne Green, and much more. The construction projects cover all skill levels, and the product reviews, well, they're done by hands that actually use the equipment they review in their own shacks. Also, 73 has more antenna articles than any other ham magazine. Did you know that single sideband FM spread spectrum and satellites were discussed in 73 magazine months before any other ham magazine? So order a subscription today. Only $19.97 for 1 year. That's 43% off the newsstand price, and save even more for 2 years. Slightly more in Canada. So call 1-800-289-0388. That's 1-800-289-0388. No, now the other magazine is Radio Fun. Are you really having enough fun with amateur radio? Well, Radio Fun is the only amateur radio magazine written especially for the newcomer or anyone else that wants to get all the enjoyment possible out of amateur radio. Every issue is packed with easy-to-understand projects, news, and reviews. Radio Fun will help you learn about all the areas of amateur radio, like packet, amateur TV, VHF, UHF, dozens more. You'll get fired up to do DX chasing, contesting, and public service. Only $12.97 buys you a 1 year subscription. That's 12 big issues, 46% off the cover price. It's slightly higher in Canada. Call 1-800-257-2346. That's 1-800-257-2346 for Radio Fun Magazine. Call right now.
they don't mean much. When something sounds too good to be true, it usually is. Words. When you want...
Hi, guys.
Blind Mania is exploding with low prices at all Wallpaper World locations. Blind Mania at Wallpaper World features all the name brands. Levalore, Hunter Douglas, Duet, Valley, Kirsch, Graber, Louverdrape, Chic, many more. Wallpaper World has been in the Valley since 1977 with six great locations and trained interior designers to assist you free of charge in each store. Right now, you can get quality Levalore custom mini blinds for 80% off. And when you buy four or more, Blind Mania at Wallpaper World installs them for you absolutely free. Yes, 80% off Levalore. Free installation. Nobody can beat that. Duet shades at over 65% off. Chic vertical blinds from less than $30. Compare quality. Nobody but nobody beats Blind Mania at Wallpaper World. They even have free shop-at-home service. So call Blind Mania at Wallpaper World, 272-4788, 272-4788 for more information or set up a free shop-at-home appointment.
CQ, 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 this is Ham Radio and More with your host, Len Winkler.
Okay, we're back. Len Winkler here, KB7LPW, along with Lee Finkel, KY7M, and we're talking to Nancy Cott, WZ8C of the FIS Corporation, or Society, I should say, International Morse Code Preservation Society. And we have a caller online. Jim, welcome to Ham Radio and More. Jim, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead with your question.
Good evening. Actually, it's not a question. I want to say good evening to Nancy and make the comment that the QRP community, the low-power operators, are very strong proponents of the use of CW on the air. Many of us enjoy designing and constructing small, low-power transmitters and transceivers that we carry with us and use with small solar panels or battery power, and enjoy operating using the CW modes. We find them very efficient and quite enjoyable to use on the air.
Nancy?
Yes, hi Jim, thanks for calling. And that's very true, CW can get through with milliwatts and, you know, the lowest power available. And another point for QRP is it's cheaper. A lot of these new hams don't have the money for all the fancy equipment and all that. And you can get on the air for under $100 with the QRP rig if you want to go CW. So it's very cost efficient also.
Okay. Jim, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Groton, Massachusetts.
Okay. Well, I hope we came through after our small difficulties.
Everything is great. And want to wish Nancy all the best.
Okay, thanks for calling, Jim. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Okay, now you were giving me one reason. That's the second reason we need called. 1-800-298-TALK is our phone number, 1-800-298-TALK. Give us some more reasons, because I'd like to know why we don't give a test for people to see if they know how to talk before they can get on AM radio. And UCW. Why don't we give people a test to see if they're proficient in packet before they get on packet?
Well, they should. I've seen some things come across on packet that, you know, made me really wonder about some of those people out there.
Well, I'm just curious.
Well, I don't have the answer to that, but I suppose it'd be unconstitutional. Speech or something, I don't know.
Okay, Lee has a story about CW.
Well, it still comes back to basics, and I had the experience again yesterday trying to work a station on the East Coast, chasing a Workdoll States Award on 12 meters, and a lot of QSB. He couldn't hear me very well, and when I turned it over to him, all of a sudden I heard CW coming back, and he was telling me that he couldn't copy anymore, but still perfectly copyable on Morse code, so it still will get through when voice won't.
And I don't have a problem with that. My question would be, but if we don't want to use CW, why shouldn't we be able to have a spectrum where we can be on voice and show more proficiency and technical knowledge rather than just...
Tom is on the line.
Since when does CW make you more knowledgeable and a better amateur radio operator?
Well, Nancy, I think it's in terms of public service, the emergency situations, code still is what we'll get through and should be something every hand knows.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was just thinking message handling too, and traffic handling. It's much more, it's faster, you don't need phonetics, and it compensates for the language barrier with the cue signs and the spelling out of the proper names. And the National Traffic Service really uses a lot of CW because it's more efficient for traffic handling too.
That's how I got started, by the way, and build up my own code speed.
Now, I want everybody listening to understand, I'm not a negative on CW, but I have to be the devil's advocate and ask you these questions. But I also have to say, you know, the Coast Guard's not using it anymore. You know, it's somewhat outdated. I'm not saying there's no need for it at all, but, you know, we are in 1994.
Yeah, but just wait, they haven't had to test that yet. I mean, the Coast Guard. When one of these times something horrible is going to happen, their computers are going to go down, and it's going to be the old brass pounding that's going to save some lives.
Okay, Ron, we have another caller online. Ron, welcome to Ham Radio and More. Ron, are you there?
Tom.
Oh, Tom, I'm sorry. Welcome to Ham Radio More. Where are you calling from, Tom?
I'm calling from outside of Boston, Massachusetts, in a small town called Franklin.
Okay.
By the way, I'll say hello to Nancy. And my call sign is WZ1T, and I am a member of FIST. I have been for a few years now. And, one of the things that really surprised me is when you said about the Coast Guard, that to point out a couple of facts that maybe you people don't know. A lot of people think that CW has been given up by the Merchant Marines, which is absolutely false. On any merchant vessel over 300 tons, a radio operator has to know CW. You can't go out to sea without a radio operator who knows CW. Even though today they use computers mostly, they have found that in time of a bad propagation, that CW is the only thing that will get through. Another point is during the crisis in the Falkland Islands years back, when England went into the Falkland Islands, their radio operators didn't know CW, and they couldn't communicate back to London for supplies to come back because propagation was just not there for the other modes. And what happened is the British Army has taken all their radio operators and trained them in CW because they found out it was a very efficient mode. So that's one of the reasons. I happen to teach classes in CW also in theory. And I found with the no-code license, I am in favor of a no-code license, by the way. I think that it's a great opportunity for hands to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And we found in teaching the classes that we offer CW as an elective. In other words, they stay behind 1 hour to learn CW. And 90% of the people that have taken the classes that I've been teaching since the inception of no-code license have taken the CW and have passed the exam. I think it's a matter of instruction.
I have a question, though. Okay, they took CW, they passed it, but when they get on the air, are they using CW or are they going to voice?
No, I would say that about 60% of them are using CW,
mm-hmm.
Which is a surprising fact. If it surprised the heck out of me, I can tell you that. Because I've kept track of these people, and I've been running statistics on them, and I will continue to do that, because it all depends on how you teach them. A lot of people have a phobia about CW, thinking they can't learn it. I have an excellent instructor that works with me. He's a CW operator only. I'm not.
Right.
I do all modes. But if you teach them the correct way, and we use a Farnsworth method, you can easily teach any person CW. And most people are afraid of it. They tried it once and they failed. Our system, we use 22 word per minute character speed and space it down. We start off at 3 words per minute and
mm-hmm.
go up to a 5. And to tell you how good this system works, in 30 days, I taught my 9-year-old daughter enough so that she...
1 minute.
And she's now copying 13 at the end of 6 weeks. So it's not hard to learn. And we've taught people anywhere from 7 years old all the way up to 75. So it's not a mode that it's impossible.
I agree. I mean, I learned it. I don't enjoy using it, but I don't have any problem with people learning it. And I don't have any problem having code as being a requirement for HF. But how did they get the number 13 words per minute? I mean, that was basically pulled out of the air.
We'll
hold you over after the break, but we got to take another break here. So you're listening to Ham Radio and More, and stay tuned. 1-800-298-TALK.
Unisoc.
There is only one Phoenix Open. Watch the world's greatest golfers as they tee it up in the 59th annual Phoenix Open, January 24th through the 30th at the beautiful Tournament Players Club of Scottsdale. For tickets, call the Thunderbirds, 870-0163, or visit any Valley Dillard's box office. January 24th through the 30th at the TPC of Scottsdale, the 1994 Phoenix Open. There is only one.
Hi, this is Don McDonald. As you may have heard, I've hold the reins of sorts on my weekday afternoon show because the time has changed, but you can still get sound advice on investing by listening to Money Talks with hosts Jerry Berg, Phil Vetter, and Mark Novkov weekdays in my old time slot of 4 p.m. Oh, you can still talk to me on Saturday, a full 3 hours live at noon and another 2 hours highlighting the best of my weekday show at 3 p.m. That's Money Talks weekdays at 4 and me, Don McDonald, Saturdays at noon right here on KFNN.
If you love the ambience and attentive service of the resort golf courses, but your finances are tired of taking a beating, come visit Palm Valley Golf Club. Part of the 9,000-acre Palm Valley community developed by Suncor, this is one beautiful golf course. Designed by Arthur Hills and Associates, Palm Valley offers challenge and enjoyment for golfers at every skill level. But even with its resort course ambience, greens fees with card are only $37 Monday through Thursday, $46 on weekends. And while you're there, visit the community too. Conveniently close to Litchfield Road and I-10, the Palm Valley community offers a simple approach to living, with models by Ryland Homes, Saddleback Homes, T.W. Lewis, Diamond Key Homes, and Suncor Homes opening soon. You'll find a home you'll love to live in. Visit Palm Valley. Experience this beautiful new course and the exciting new community. Palm Valley, I-10 and Litchfield Road. A simple approach to living and a much more affordable approach to resort-style golf.
When a major earthquake hit San Francisco in 1989, amateur radio operators were there to relay information when phone service was interrupted. A year ago, when hurricanes ravaged Florida and Louisiana, ham operators were there to aid in disaster relief efforts. And during the Gulf War, amateur radio volunteers worked as Mars operators, relaying messages from service people in the Gulf to loved ones back home. Time after time, amateur radio enthusiasts have given, volunteering their services during times of need. The Valley Petrie dealerships recognize the fact that hams are special people. That's why licensed hams receive special fleet pricing on new Buicks, Isuzus, Chryslers, Plymouths, Jeeps, and Eagles. You can save real money on a new car, truck, minivan, or 4x4. For more information on this money-saving program, contact the fleet manager at any of the Valley Petrie dealerships. For fleet prices on new Buicks or Isuzus, contact Joe Bertoni at Petrie Buick Isuzu, 994-9451.
Okay, we're back to Ham Radio and More. Wish everybody again a happy new year. I want to get back with Tom. Finish your thought, please, Tom.
Oh, you mentioned something about the 13 words per minute. Where did you pick it right out of the air? If you look at it, the 5 words per minute in an emergency situation is kind of a slow speed to communicate with. 13 words per minute, which is 65 characters in a minute, would be able to transmit a message very efficiently. I do believe, though, that 20 words per minute is a joke on the extra class test. I think they should do away with it. I think what they should do is do away with the stupid tests that they've got, extra class tests they got, and give a more comprehensive theory test. By the way, my background is in engineering, but the extra class test was a joke. I laughed all the way through it. Not from an engineering point of view, I just thought that the added privilege for the top license class that you have in the United States would be an extra class license. And to give that sort of theory test for the top class of license is absolutely, beyond belief.
Tom, I got to hold you there. I thank you very much for your call, and you made a lot of good observations.
Okay.
Thank you, 73. Okay, Nancy, we only have a couple of minutes here. Let's talk about the art and skill of radio telegraphy and that book that's, in my opinion, underpriced.
It is. I wish we could charge more for it, but the OM who wrote it just wants the word of code to go out, and it's a beautiful book about learning, using, mastering, and enjoying code. And there's a lot of information in there, and I've seen books of this caliber going for $29.99, and I think it's worth every penny of it, but we're doing it at cost.
And how much is that?
It's $10, including two-day postage.
Includes two-day?
Yeah, includes a priority or the 290, 2 days for 290 or whatever.
I'll tell you, it's well-written. It really covers everything from A to Z. The headline is "The Radio Telegraph Code Obsolete." That starts it, and it continues telling you all different ways and ideas of learning and attitudes to learn the code. I think it's really fantastic for anybody having any difficulty learning the code, or for people who want to increase their speed.
Yes, it is. It's invaluable. It's 138 pages, too, and it covers the Candler method and a little bit of the American Morse in there, too, and the OM who wrote it is, I think he's 87.
Wow.
And this is like a compilation of his experience all through the years.
Well, it's really well written and worth the $10, that's for sure. Okay, how do you become a member of FIS? Where can they order this book? Give us all the good stuff.
Okay, well, our address is P.O. Box 47, Hadley.
1 minute.
Michigan, 48440. And the dues for FIS are $15 a year, and it includes a monthly newsletter. And if they would like a sample of the newsletter or more information on the club, just send me an SASE at P.O. Box 47, Hadley, Michigan, and we'll get it right back out to them.
Well, there's sure a lot more to discuss. We're going to have you back, absolutely. And, I mean, I apologize for all the problems we had, but this is a new year. We just started it all out with Murphy.
That's often the way it happens. I'm glad to be here, though, Les. Thank you.
Okay, Nancy. Well, it's been a pleasure. Next week, we're going to have Harry Danels, the president, the current president of QCWA, and outgoing president. He's been with the ARRL for years. A great guy and real interesting. We'll see you all next week. 73's America, and Happy New Year again.
CQ, CQ, CQ America, and welcome to Ham Radio and More, the show that specializes in the great service that amateur radio provides. Your host is Lynn Winkler, KB7LPW.
We're back to Ham Radio and More in sunny Phoenix. Well, it's not so sunny anymore, but God, what a beautiful, picture-perfect weekend we had here doing the Fiesta Bowl. My God, it was gorgeous. You couldn't ask for a nicer day. All those people out there like in Hadley, Michigan, and all those other places back east where it's frigid, you know. Well, we're back here in Phoenix. Lee, welcome to Ham Radio More.
Well, I'm glad to be here again, Len. This is Lee, KY7M.
And I'm Len, KB7LPW. And Nancy, are you online there? Do we have you online?
I'm here, Len, Nancy, WZHC in Hadley, Michigan, where it's awfully cold.
Okay, yeah, how cold is it?
It's, today it got up to about 20. We've got about six inches of snow on the ground.
Heat wave.
We had a white Christmas anyway, so it was nice.
Okay, talk up, because we have a little quiet line there. Everything that can go wrong. Murphy,
Murphy, get away. Well, okay, now that we're back here in just Phoenix, of course, you've been on our show locally before, and we had some fun. When we just did this last half hour, we really compressed 2 hours worth of stuff into 30 minutes. It was funny when that guy Tom called, because Lee says he recognized the call. He's talked to him on CW.
Heard him on 12 meter CW. He was very active, I think.
So you had all your forces, Nancy, from Boston in calling.
Yeah, I couldn't really hear what he said, but I recognized his call, and I think he was a fist, if I'm correct.
Oh yeah, he was. Okay, let's go back and let's talk about fists again, because we really didn't do it justice at all. We just superficially covered the topic. It started when?
It started in 1987 over in England. A fellow named Geo, which is short for George, G3ZQS, saw that there was a real need to nurture the newcomers, because they got their ticket and they were scared to get on the air. They were intimidated because everybody's going so fast and they didn't know the cue signs, they didn't know the procedures, and they were being intimidated off the air. They weren't getting on because they felt overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
So George felt this need to start the club for veterans to kind of take the newcomers under their wing, as it were, and kind of nurture them along and give them confidence and get them on the air in order to preserve the mode.
I know there's other CW clubs. Lee was talking about one. What were you mentioning?
Well, the First Class Operators Club is the elite, and by invitation only, also one that started in the United Kingdom a number of years ago. And they've got, I don't know, like 1,500 members. I think that's the most they can have. And they have get-togethers on the air every once in a while. But that's strictly 30 words a minute and up.
Well, I was going to say, FIST certainly sounds like, in my opinion, a better, more geared to the average person. And, of course, they're trying to push for the newcomer, which, you know, is great because, you know, that's where it's at. We need new people and new blood in amateur radio, right?
Well, yes, but we, surprisingly enough, we have, I think, 5 FOC members in FIST. So there, George is a FIST, George is a FOC, First Class Operator Club member, and we have, I think, about 3 or 4 other ones, too. So they're interested in perpetuating the mode also and helping out the newcomers.
That's good. So, that's good. Yeah, I think the focus is a lot different, where you're trying to get people starting out to feel comfortable with it. That's certainly commendable.
Our phone number here in Phoenix is 230-2755, 230-2755. Those of you listening in Phoenix and want to have any comments about code, pro or con, or if you're a FIST member in Phoenix, you want to give us a call at 230-2755. We're on today till 5:45, so we've gotten a reprieve because the sun stays up a little longer. So 230-2755, and we'll get you online here to talk about CW. They took a survey recently in England, actually, and I thought that was kind of neat, about CW, and there were a lot of people for it and a lot of people against it. It was kind of interesting. There were more arguments in England against it on HF than for it, though. I don't know if you read that or not. That survey, it was the ARRL has that in their ARRL letter, and it'll be in next month's QST magazine.
Oh, and talking to me, I can never tell.
Yeah, sure.
No, I haven't read that, but it doesn't surprise me. I mean, people are, especially nowadays, they seem to want to take the easy way out, and why should they work for something if they don't have to? And it's really sad because they're missing out on so much. You know, because if we had just got my license and just were on 2 meters. I mean, sure, you know, I'd be having a lot of fun, but you're missing out on so much. You're just like cutting off 2/3 of the ham world.
Well, can you tell me what you get, and maybe Lee can answer this also, tell me what you get, and other than, of course, there are times where voice doesn't get through and CW does. I acknowledge that wholeheartedly, but tell me what you get out of a CW contact over and above what you get out of a voice contact.
Well, for me, it's a means of relaxation. You kind of can get away from it all. You know, you have a hard day at work.
Do you ever give a massage?
Well, Well,
yeah, go ahead.
There's times when that's not practical.
All right.
But you just want to get away from it all, and you come home, you put on the headphones, and when you're up at a speed around 20 or so, or even higher, you can kind of just get away from it all, and it just takes you to another world, and it's very relaxing.
I put myself to sleep a few times in the middle of the night when I couldn't sleep by having a rag chew on 40-meter CW.
Yeah,
you kind of fade off and don't remember who you're talking to.
So in other words, you're telling me that you need CW to keep you awake.
No, to put you to sleep. It's very relaxing.
Oh, CW is. Oh, okay. Well, here's some of the things in England that they said. CW is a barrier to new license holders or new licensees. Young people are put off by Morse code requirements. Morse no longer is a communications necessity. The resulting band crowding would promote new technologies. And CW is a relic, an artificial barrier. And some people simply can't learn CW. Do you believe that?
I don't believe that.
You don't believe that?
I mean, anybody can learn code. It's just a bunch of dots and dashes. I mean, they've learned English, and that's a far more complex thing. They can add and subtract and multiply and divide. You know, there's no way that they can't learn code. I don't believe that at all.
Well, of course, there were some comments, for instance, that if you got rid of CW, it would reduce the status of amateur service. The standards are already too low, they say.
That's true. We're eroding our meaningful standards, and not just with this, but the way they've mechanized the whole testing system. That's a whole other topic, but, you know, with the multiple choice.
Well, actually, that's part of this topic because, you know, are you a pro? I mean, what about no code? Like that guy Tom who called said, although he's heavily for FIS and he's heavily for CW, he's still a big advocate of no code.
Well, no code is here, and
I didn't detect a lot of jubilation in your voice there, Nancy.
Well, it's just that they're limiting themselves because everybody feels the same way. I hated code. It took me 2 years to learn code, and I fought it every step of the way. I said, what do I need this for? I just want to get on 2 meters. You know, I know where they're coming from, but then you keep at it, and it clicks, and it just makes it opens up a whole new world to you.
Are you on Packet?
Yes, I am.
Are you on ATV?
No.
Do you do satellite work?
No.
Well, it opens up a whole new world to you.
Well, I hope to do that. I've only been a ham for 5 years, so I'm looking forward to that.
But you won't give it to the people who don't know code that they should be able to possibly use 12 meters or 15 meters or 20 meters.
No, I think there should be a code requirement just because it is something to work for. It's something you appreciate something more when you earn it.
Even though they never will use it on the air.
I would never say never, you know, because you don't know.
Well, unless, you know, but 99.9% of the time they won't use it.
Well, if they learned it, they would use. The point is, I guess what I'm trying to make, is you don't know that you don't like it until you really try it. I mean, I haven't talked to anybody who gets 20 words a minute that doesn't like it.
Well, that's because they went up to 20 words a minute. They better say they like it. Lou, do you do most of your contacts on CW or voice?
For many years, it was almost entirely CW, and really when I got into DXing more heavily, I spent more time on voice. And these days, still probably 60 to 75% is CW, and that's my mode of preference.
Is that because it's easier? You get more contacts, you get through easier. A lot of people out there aren't as good at CW, have less competition.
Well, that's certainly part of it. The chance of QRM isn't as great. You don't have the interference from close by loud stations, so you can click in a narrow filter and pull somebody through very easily. I remember when I first got my license as a novice that. Although 2 meters wasn't as big in those days, but getting on 15 meters in the CW novice band and talking to a station in the East Coast or West Coast from the Midwest was a real thrill, and certainly opened a lot of horizons, things that I could never do on 2 meters, even if it were available back then.
Okay, well, let me just take a short break here. You're listening to Ham Radio and More here on KFNN 1510. And I'm here with Lee Finkel, KY7M. I'm Len Winkler, KB7LPW. And, of course, we're talking to Nancy Catt, WZ8C of the Fists Society. And our phone number is 230-2755, 230-2755 or 1-800-293-KFNN. And I encourage you to get in on the conversation and either... talk about code pro or con or whatever. Okay. Ken Nichols, WA7HXZ, who's the fleet manager for Linda Brock Auto Mall. I'm sure he's having a good New Year's. I was there with him last week, and they don't have a whole lot of Dodge trucks in stock. They've got tons on order, but they have a bunch, you know, of Caravans and a few Rams, and I saw a bunch of Stealths there, and those are really neat. I mean, if you want a sports car, those Stealths are kind of neat. I didn't see any Vipers. Speaking of Vipers, I guess that show premieres tonight. But anyway, that should make the Viper even more popular. But anyhow, that new truck, that Ram truck that Dodge has come up with, it is really selling tremendously. It is amazing. While I was there, we were going to go out to lunch, and he had one call after the other, so we were delayed maybe 20 minutes. It's like an all-day thing. It's one constant call after the other from all over the country calling Ken to buy cars. It's really quite amazing. They're calling him because he does have the best prices. He usually can get whatever car you want. I mean, of course, Linda Brock Auto Mall carries Oldsmobiles, Volkswagens, BMWs, and Dodges, but if you want, he can get you any vehicle, even used vehicles, used cars. In fact, I heard a rumor that they're going to have more and more used cars coming very shortly. So that would be neat. But he has leasing available, of course, low-cost financing available, takes trade-ins. So he does it all. You don't have to be shy. All you have to do is give him a call, though, at 228-2336. 228-2336, and you'll get the best price going with no negotiations, none of this hard nose pushing or anything. All you do is give them the make and model and options that you want, and pow, he gives you the list price and the low discounted price. 228-2336. Give Ken Nichols a call. You can even call him today. He works 24 hours a day. 228-2336. Fleet prices direct to you. That's Ken Nichols. All right, KFNN here, Ham Radio and More. Well, I'm not KFNN, I'm Len Winkler, KB7LPW. And our phone number is 230-2755. And I want to take one moment before we get back to Nancy just to be sure and mention that this week starts out our new year and new month. And, of course, there's a lot of club events. So remember that tomorrow night the West Valley Amateur Radio Club is having their meeting. And, of course, that's going to involve satellites. So if you're interested into satellites, and there is CW going on satellite, I heard rumors, so you can certainly get involved with that. Wednesday night, the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club has their meeting, and again, satellites. Wednesday at the Scottsdale Club, we're going to have Alex and Alan from Callahan High School talking about their SAREX discussion with the astronauts, so that'll be the program. Then Thursday, I believe there's no DX meeting this month on Thursday. Instead, on Friday, there's a banquet. And you want to tell us about that, Lee, real quick?
Yes, we have K5VT, one of our members who has been on expeditions to Melish Reef, VK9MM, and Eritrea, which split from Ethiopia and Africa.
And a big CW operator.
Big CW and FOC member, yes. Vince is a local surgeon here, will be presenting slides and talking about those very exciting expeditions. We will have, for $12.50, a full dinner at the Salt River Project Para Club. If anybody wants information, we have to have at least a reservation by Tuesday. So give me a call at 998-2418 for more information, and we'll get you signed up.
The food is always great, and you can't get that kind of food and that much food for the $12 very easily. So, and it also helps the DX Club, which is worldwide known. I mean, what a job you guys did. Outgoing president, I want to congratulate you on a good year, and I know you'll move on to something else.
Thank you. Well, five days to go, and I'll be past president.
And I love the call sign of the new president, AA7A, Ned Stearns. Congratulations on becoming the new president. Another CW user quite extensively. Oh, no, he uses his voice. Okay, I want to just mention that on, I believe it was Thursday of last week, I had the honor of going with Kyle Hayden High School and going to a resort in Scottsdale and getting the chance, the opportunity to meet in person the shuttle astronauts that took place, that took part on the last SAREX mission, where Kyle Hayden High School talked to the astronauts. It was really interesting to see the kids' faces light up because they talked to them in space, you know, and now they got to meet these real live astronauts. I was also excited, I mean, meeting the astronauts. So it was really neat, and Commander John Blaha was there, and who else was there? Lieutenant Colonel William McCarthy, he was there, and it was really interesting talking to them, and I want to thank Kyle Hayden High School for inviting me there to talk to these guys. But they came for, actually it was Channel 5 TV's idea, put it together, and I guess they did a special on it. It was also on Channel 3, they were there. So gave the ham radio a little more publicity, and SAREX is certainly good for amateur radio, gets a lot of kids involved with amateur radio. Okay. Nancy Katz, FIS group. Let's talk again about this book, The Art and Skill of Radio Telegraphy. I know the guy who wrote it doesn't want any publicity, but as I was going through this book, I mean, it really, it tells you practice to gain proficiency. It tells you his opinion of the fact that it's not obsolete, even though, you know, some people might think it is. Not me, of course. What is that chuckle I hear there?
Oh, I can't help it. I'm sorry.
It says, hasn't modern technology displaced it? Back in 1912, nobody balked at learning the code. It was simple then. If you didn't know the code, you couldn't even listen and understand, much less communicate by wireless. But today, however, it refuses to lie down and die. Not only old-timers, but many newcomers have found that it is a skill worth learning, a pleasure just as any other skill. I learned French. There is a real sense of pressure and achievement in communicating this way. Some find an excellent means of escape, a way to forget immediate workaday problems and completely absorb one's attention. Why do people are able to do keep a conversation going, or one or two, and also hear 30, 40 words a minute code? That must be really something unique. Can you do that, Nancy?
No, I can't do that.
You know, oh, I had a real, this is serious. Okay, you got your license June 14th, 1988. How did you become such a code fanatic? You've only been a ham 6 years.
Yeah, 5 and a half, actually. I don't know how it happened. Because I hated it at first. I mean, I seriously did, and I can understand totally where these no-coders are coming from. But when I got my 5, people kept saying, you know, keep with it, it'll click, and it did. All of a sudden, it was like somebody clicked on a light bulb, and it made sense to me. And I got on the air and increased to 13 and, you know, went all the way up to 20. And you go over your humps, of course, which is why I think that, mentioned before, is why 13 words a minute for general. It seems like most people hit a hump about 10 or 11.
Nancy, try to speak up a little if you can.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Perfect.
It seems like a lot of people hit a hump around 10 or 11, 12 words a minute. And I think if they didn't have that goal of 13 words a minute to go for, they'd give up.
Well, don't you think, though, there's also some truth in the fact that if there aren't, if ham radio operators don't have the numbers, we can lose a lot of spectrum, and you might find people who want the HF spectrum.
Well, yeah, I hate to say a whole other show, but I don't really believe that, because we're not fulfilling the obligations that ham radio was set out for anyway. We're not a new testing ground for new technology much anymore.
Well, what about Packet? Packet came from ham radio.
Yeah.
Killer
phones and things like that.
Do you know that when I spoke to Mr. Anderson, what's his name? I'm sorry. Mr. MacArthur, the Lieutenant Colonel MacArthur, the astronaut, I asked him about amateur television on the shuttle, and do you know that he said there was no way that he has the ability on the shuttle to see what goes on at the Johnson Space Center. Of course, they can watch him, but he can't see them. Now, if we had amateur television up there, he could watch what's going on down here as we watch what's going on up there, and he said that would be kind of neat to have. Now, see, now, look at that. Amateur television could be something that could get out of, you know, out of ham radio that would help technically advance the space program, maybe.
Well, that would be great.
No, but I'm just saying, so we still do some of that, but if you don't get people involved in amateur radio because the code stops them, they're not going to be able to have the numbers, we're not going to be able to get the numbers to do the technical advancement.
No, I don't think the code is really stopping the people that really want to do it, because they've got the two-meter avenue now, the codeless tech, to go in and do their computer stuff and all that. And we're finding that a lot of the codeless techs are coming to us and saying, hey, I think I'm missing out on something. Help us learn the code. And I'm involved with novice testing, which I'm sure a lot of others are too. And we're seeing a lot of no-code techs come in and want to upgrade because they're seeing that they are missing out on a lot.
Okay, this book that this guy writes, he actually takes you through the principles of skill building and attitudes, and he calls, you know, exactly what we're talking about. He says it's the attitude that gets you to learn it.
It is. You have to have an I can do it attitude, and you have to want it. I found that with me, I had to want it more than anything. You know, you have to really want to do it. Because if you kind of go into it lackadaisically, you know, you're not going to do it.
What about the person who actually tries to learn it and spends a full year really spending time, but just can't do it?
Well, try it for another year. It took me 2 years. What can I say?
You're the perennial optimist.
I am. I think code is really worth learning, and it's a very worthwhile skill. It's just such a rush to get on the air and talk to somebody in China and actually have a halfway decent conversation with somebody that doesn't even speak English, just using dots and dashes.
Well, he needs to know some English in order to use Morse code.
Well, he needs to know his cue signs.
Well, if you're going to have more than a an IST report 5.9, you know, and that's the whole QSO, he's got to know a little more than that.
Well, you've got the where do you live, what's your name, you know, what's your rig, you know, that kind of stuff with the Q signs. It's just, of course, most of them know a little bit of English anyway, but just to be able to have a conversation like that is just amazing to me.
Do you have any suggestions? What do you think's the easiest way to learn code?
Get on the air. I think
if you don't have a license, you know, you can listen.
Oh. Well.
But I mean, for the person who doesn't have a license.
Well, the person that doesn't have a license should get their code tapes from the ARRL or W5YI or whatever source they want to get them through. CQ Magazine has a bookstore that sells the tapes, I believe. And just practice. Listen. It takes a lot of time listening to the tapes, and it helps if you have a code buddy, you know, somebody who will practice with you to send back and forth. That really helps a lot, too.
We have to find line of code buddy.
Really? I'm going to get motivated and work on that. You're going to be in trouble, Len.
Well, I thought if I could go to sleep and take a shot or something, you know, and while I'm sleeping, I can learn it.
No, anything
doesn't
worth
work
having,
out.
It's worth earning. You wouldn't want it if you could get it that easy.
What exactly is the Walter Candler code course?
Oh, you're asking me?
Well, you don't know, huh?
No, it's just a way of learning code that they used to use back for the telegraph operators.
Because that's in this book also.
Yeah, I know it is. I'm trying to look for it real quick here.
Well, it's on page 111. But let me just say, all kidding aside, this book is only $10. If you have any desire to learn code and you're having any problems whatsoever learning it, or if you're having no problems, you just want to increase your knowledge, or if you're like Lee and you're a proficient code user, but you want a book that you can jam down your son's, and make sure that other people will learn it, this book is really a tremendous book. I sincerely mean that. When you sent it to me, Nancy, and I couldn't believe that you're selling all this information for $10. I was amazed.
Well, we want to make it, we tried to do it as cheaply as we could, which you can tell by some of the printing is not exactly,
well, it's,
it's not something you'd pick up at, you know, your local bookstore and say this is first quality, but it's definitely readable. I don't want to make it sound like it's not, but we tried to do it as cheaply as we could to get it available to as many people as we could, even to novice classes. You know, the base cost of the book is $7. The other three comes in for postage. And it's so motivational. I read it, and I felt good about it because he tells you you can do it. You know, it's just reinforcing that attitude. And and he talks about how his way of learning code that he's found is not to do it from a chart because you're making twice as much work for yourself.
Now, you're going to be at Dayton again because that's where I met you last year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be.
C15. We got our confirmation last week.
Okay. Do I need to wear my little button you send me?
Well, I hope you would, with pride.
But, okay, well, I think that's kind of interesting. All right. I see that we have a caller calling in, and but in the meantime, I'm going to take a short break, and we'll be right back while Duke takes that information from him, and then we'll put him online. So I want to talk about Wallpaper World. Wallpaper World has six great locations in the Valley, and they've been there, of course, since 1977, which, of course, makes makes it a great, not a new company, not somebody just woke up. Anyway, they have, again, six locations, and each of their people goes through a class, goes through a course to learn interior design so that when you walk into the store and you ask them any questions, they can help you. It's not like you walk in and it's not like you don't know code and you got to try to learn it. You can walk in and these people will teach you, you know, bring them a sample of a pillow, bring them a sample of paint chip, etc. They will match wallpaper, they will match blinds, they will match colors to coordinate whatever it is that you bring in. So Wallpaper World really does have the experience and the knowledge to help you do an entire house, design your entire home. Remember, they also have Phoenix Suns basketball wallpaper border. Now, this is really neat. It's the real Phoenix Suns border, and you just put it up. You know, it's real easy to apply, and it's in stock, so you can pick up a Phoenix Suns border. And they also have a world map. This is like 12 and a half feet wide and 9 feet high. Every ham should have one in their shack. So that's another good item they have. And remember that they have Levalo, Bailey, all the famous brands of window covering you can think of, and all at the lowest prices. And the one thing Wallpaper World has that the others don't have, no matter how hard they try, if you buy a minimum order of four or more blinds, they install and measure the blinds absolutely free. So that's a fantastic deal. So you can get 80% off on mini blinds off the legitimate list price. And then on top of that, they'll measure and install it. So give them a call. 272-4788 is their main number. 272-4788. But again, they have locations throughout the Phoenix area, Mesa, Chandler, Scottsdale, etc. In fact, their new store at 90th Street in Villa Linda. Yeah, it's Wallpaper World. They really do make selecting wallpaper and custom window treatments an enjoyable experience. Okay, the caller dropped off. Our phone number again is 230-2755, 230-2755. What's happening to you guys in Phoenix? Don't you have any pro or con on code, or have you heard code talked about too much and you're tired about it, so you don't want to talk about it? Start out the new year with a bang. Tell us something about code. 230-2755. Next week, we're going to have Harry Daniels on, and again, Harry is the current president of QCWA, but more important than that, you'll love this, Nancy.
I know, I was just thinking, he's pro no code.
He is the proponent, he is the starter of no code. He's the one that got the ARRL and FCC together to do and to commit to no code, along with Lou McCoy getting involved in it too. But Harry really instrumental in that.
Yes, I had heard that. What can I say?
You really don't like no-coders, huh?
Oh, you wanted me to start some controversy?
No. But I can just hear that from your voice. I mean, now see, look at all the people, even Lee, what's your opinion about no-coders?
I think there's a place for everybody in the hobby, and I think it's an important way to get people started. It's just look at my own children, and with their interest in computers, I think it's a way to get them into the hobby, and then if they really want to pursue it, then the code is there, and they can move on up that way.
And Nancy, you what do you think?
No, I agree. I can't argue with it, but it just kind of goes against my grain a little bit, you know, because people are just limiting themselves, because I see people in my own local clubs here, they just get on 2 meters, and they're just, that's it.
Well, here's the devil advocate again. So if people want to limit themselves, so what?
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't care about it, but...
No, but I mean, but since when, so you firmly believe, does the FIS organization firmly believe that knowing Morse code makes you a better ham radio operator?
It makes you a better person.
Nancy, with a straight face you said that.
No, I couldn't resist. It doesn't make you a better ham, but it makes you always, I think, a little bit more aware of the history of the hobby, which makes you a little bit more respectful of it. And yeah, I think it makes you a better ham radio operator, personally.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Now, all kidding aside, because here's my big thing. The fact that I need to learn 20 words a minute to become an extra class ham, and I don't have any desire to learn 20 words a minute, and I have no desire, therefore, to become an extra class ham because I'm not going to learn 20 words a minute. I don't want to spend, whatever, I don't have the time to spend to learn that 20 words a minute, and you do have to put an effort to learn it. What it's causing is it's causing me not to learn the theory parts that go along with the advanced and the extra class licensing, because I'm not going to avail myself to that knowledge only from the standpoint it doesn't do me any good. I can't increase my license class unless I learn the code. Shouldn't there be a dual way to get more privileges? Learning, you know, what about the person who says, hey, I'm willing to take all the class written exams, theory exams, and make them even tougher than they are now, make them really technical and really so that you really learn something. Wouldn't you be making a better ham that way?
Well, I would like to see the written exam toughened up and the not the multiple choice, but the essay questions. You know, I think they should tighten those up and make it more meaningful, because now it's anybody can memorize it. And
but you don't want to do that at the expense of code.
No, I don't.
No,
I think
of course
code
not.
Is just as valuable.
Okay, Rick, welcome to Ham Radio and More. You're on with Nancy.
Hi, Lynn. Hi, Lee. And hi, Nancy. I just wanted to let Nancy know that I'm a no-coder myself, and I've got so much going on from 30 megs on up that I don't have time to learn Morse code. And I can't afford the equipment right now to be able to get on the air. And, you know, I'm having fun. I watch ATV. I'm not transmitting ATV yet. But there's a lot of fun out there to be had. And the HF bands are great if you want to pursue that. But there's certain people who are no-coders who really don't. They just don't care to get on the HF bands and do Morse code or even voice.
Rick, hold on one second. One second, Rick. Okay, Rick, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, Nancy, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, we had I had a momentary lapse there. Okay, go ahead, Rick. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's basically what I wanted to let her know that.
Well, she didn't hear half of that. Could you repeat some of it?
Oh, sure.
I'm sorry.
Well, Nancy, my name's Rick. And I'm a no-coder, and I've got so much going on from 30 megahertz on up that I don't really have the time to slow down and learn code. You know, that's kind of it's a fun thing to do. And sure, there's times when it's really usable, just like Lee was talking about. Leave somebody on voice, you can go ahead and finish up or continue your QSO and CW. But I'm not limiting myself. I watch ATV. I listen to the satellites passing overhead here. Try to downlink any of that I can pick up on my receiving equipment. I've got numerous scanners. I've got a shortwave radio that I'd like to listen to.
But Rick, you can't do DX, Rick.
Hey, I just don't really care. You know, DX is great.
That's fine. But you're missing. What if you want to do DX? Then you got to learn Morse code.
Right. And when I want to do DXing, I will learn Morse code.
Okay.
But right now, it's not really a requirement. So I'll have my no code fun. And when I'm ready to move up, I'll move up. And I think a lot of no-coders are that way. They either don't want to miss out on anything long enough to take the time to learn, or they're like me. They just have so much fun at what they're doing that, you know, the HF world just becomes kind of negligible to them.
Yeah, that's a valid point. And, like, Rick hasn't been a ham all that long either, and just like I haven't been a ham all that long either, so I haven't got into the satellites and all that kind of stuff, but I'm glad to know it's going to be there if I ever do get bored with DXing and low band. You know, there's the other avenues to look into, and I'm sure that sooner or later you're going to want to know what's going on in low bands, and like you say, then you'll put the time and effort into learning it. So there's something for everybody. It's just an amazing hobby, just because there is something for everybody.
So Rick, would you use DX? Would you be DXing on the low bands if you didn't have to no code?
Would I be DXing?
Yeah, would you use HF if you didn't have to learn code?
I might consider it if the prohibitive cost of the equipment, which is right now one of the big things.
Well, the reason it's expensive is because they don't sell a lot of them. They could sell so much more if there was no requirement. That's
right.
One of the reasons the factories want no code. That's another reason people are against no code. They say it's the factories that want it. But see, that's how come the price of 2 meter radios are down. You can buy now a dual bander for $299. I mean, that's unbelievable. $299 for a dual bander. A couple of years ago, it was $500 for a 2 meter radio.
Yeah, that's you know, I can nickel and dime myself to death from 30 megs on up with all kinds of stuff. I also do a lot of experimenting and building antennas and different components for transmission lines and things. I built an antenna matcher for my car. I took a 6-foot whip and put it on my car last.
I got to cut you, Rick.
Okay.
We got to go. Thank you very much for calling.
Hey, thank you. We'll
okay.
see you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. Okay, Nancy, give us the address for Fists.
Fists is P.O. Box 47, Hadley, Michigan, H-A-D-L-E-Y, Michigan, 48440.
Okay, and is there any phone number that you want to give or no?
Oh, I can give out my number if they have any positive questions.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Area code 810-797-5388, or they can send me an SASE to the P.O. Box 47, and I'll send them out a sample newsletter and an application and an info packet.
I'll tell you, the $10 for this book should be sent, because I'll tell you, this book is really good, The Art and Skill of Radio Telegraphy. Nancy, it's as always, it's a pleasure. I thank you very much for putting up with us, and you know, remember, I do have a coded license, so I'm not anti-code. I just listen, doing my job. So thanks again, Nancy.
Okay, thanks, Len. We'll see you in Dayton.
Okay.
We'll keep working on him, Nancy.
Thank you, Lee, for helping out for the last few weeks.
My pleasure.
And this is Len Winkler and Lee Finkel, 73s
Arizona.
CQ, 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 thank you for listening to Ham Radio and More with